A very good morning, and I hope you're well. It's Michael Glynn filling in for James here on Farm Focus this morning. Coming up on today's programme, we'll hear from Chagas on the impact of COVID-19 on their advisory service, and we'll also be discussing the issue of wills with a Six Mile Bridge solicitor. First, though, the weather for the weekend ahead. Today will be a mild and incredibly breezy day, with a mix of cloud and some bright or sunny spells. It'll be mainly dry, there'll just be a few isolated light showers or patchy drizzle mainly in the morning. Highest temperatures of 11 or 12 degrees. Outbreaks of rain in the west and southwest on Sunday morning will extend eastwards to most areas as the day goes on. It'll be mild and blustery with highs of 12 to 15 degrees. And on Monday, sunshine and scattery blustery showers, most frequent in the west, but becoming dry and sunny in most parts of the country by evening. Now we'll go to the phone lines where Martina Enright from Chagas is waiting. Martina, good morning.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
So to start off, you'd like to talk about the impact of COVID-19 on the Chagas Advisory Service.
Yes. Well, I suppose like all people, I'm working remotely at the moment. So we have closed all of our posts at the moment and we're all working from home to a great extent. I suppose the biggest impact this will have is on the basic payment scheme. Normally, clients would come into the office and meet with the advisor, and the advisor would complete the application online in consultation with the client. Obviously, we can't do that at the moment. We had to change the way we do that. And so we're doing all of these now on the phone. So we're keeping the appointments that we've made, but instead of meeting with the clients, we're calling them and doing the applications over the phone and submitting them online. So what we're asking clients to do in preparedness for the phone call is to have a look at their maps and their land parcels that have been sent out by the Department of Agriculture, to check over those and to make sure everything is in order. And likewise, we'll have done the same thing, examined the application and looked at the glass plan, etc. So the deadline for the BPS is the 15th of May. We're still making appointments. You can still ring the office and make appointments, and it's business as usual. Farmers are hugely dependent on the basic payment scheme and other cap payments for their income and to support their farm business. And I suppose it's important, too, to remember that this funding supports thousands of rural businesses as it flows through the economy. So the EU-based payment scheme delivers on almost 1.2 billion euros to Irish farmers annually. And on top of that, there are various other payments that farmers opt for depending on their circumstances of their farming business. So it's really, really important to get the application completed on time, as this will secure your income or a vital part for 2020.
I see. And you also want to talk about the BEEP. Could you tell me what that is, please?
Yes. Now, just before that, I just wanted to say that there's other sorts of types of work that we carry out that are changed slightly. Normally, we're very busy this time of year on farms with discussion groups and advisory groups. And these meetings, obviously, again, can't take place on farms. So what we're doing there is that we're holding, we've been replacing these on-farm meetings with phone meetings. So a number of them have taken place and more will take place in the coming weeks. So group members can expect a call from their advisor or a text explaining how it will work. We'll be having a call with 15 to 20 clients who wish to join the call, and they can discuss matters then with their advisor and with each other. Otherwise, we'll communicate through our digital format, online, Twitter, Facebook, our website, post today's farm and our monthly newsletter. So it's a new way of working, but we've been doing the BPS by phone for the last number of weeks and it's working well, and the discussion groups are working well too. Okay.
So you also want to talk about the BEEP. Could you tell me about that, please?
Yeah, the BEEP Environmental Efficiency Programme. It was launched on the 12th of March and it has a budget of 35 million euro. So the objectives of the scheme then are to increase the economic and environmental efficiency within the suckler herd through collecting performance data. So there's some targeted measures within the scheme. We're looking at the weaning efficiency of the cow, looking at the mature weight of the cow versus the calf to see how efficient that animal is. Secondly, then, we're looking at welfare issues that have been introduced as well this year to try and to improve the welfare of the calf around weaning time. We're also looking at cutting down on the use of dosing products to the use of more targeted fetal egg counts for liver fluke and rumen fluke in suckler cows. So overall, it's to improve the overall efficiency and welfare within the suckler herd.
Okay. And when is the deadline for applying, and how do farmers go about applying?
The deadline for applying is the 15th of May. It's easy to remember. It's the same as basic payment. So you can go onto your AgFood account and apply yourself online. You just go into your AgFood account, and on the left-hand side, you'll see a tab for BEEP, and you apply there. Otherwise, you may want to approve your advisor to do it. And to do that, you will have to... basically, the advisor has to ask the department for approval to do the application for you. And you'll get a text from the department, and you need to reply to that. So probably it's better to contact the advisor beforehand.
Are there any other points you wanted to make?
Yeah, just the payment for the scheme. It's fairly attractive this year. Last year, the payment was 40 euro per...
And what are the requirements that farmers have to fulfil for the scheme?
Well, last year, most people remember the fact that they had to weigh their cows and calves, and it's the same this year. It's a mandatory measure. So the main task is to weigh the cow and the unweaned calf on the same day to record the information and to submit it to ICBF. This year, it's the same thing. The same action has to be carried out, but there are two additional measures. One of them is... You can, if you're prepared to meal feed pre-weaning and post-weaning 4 weeks before you wean the calf and 2 weeks afterwards, that will qualify as one tax. Or if you're prepared to vaccinate weanlings against pneumonia, that's another task. You can also pick a third option, so that's targeting fecal egg sampling, collecting dung samples from suckler cows and looking to see if there's an issue with liver fluke or rumen fluke and dosing on the basis of that. So there's compulsory weighing measure. There's an optional then meal feeding, pre and post weaning, or vaccinate. And then there's fecal egg sampling.
And how much is the scheme worth to any farmer that decides to participate?
Well, it's very attractive compared to last year. Last year, you got paid 40 euro per cow. This year, the first mandatory action, which is the weighing, you get 50 euro for the first 10 cow and calf pair weighed. And for every cow and calf weighed after that, you get 40 euro up to a maximum of 100 cow and calf pairs. If you select action 2 and select the meal feeding or vaccination, you get 30 euro per calf weighed up to a maximum of 100 calves. And if you go for the fecal egg testing, it's a further 10 euro per cow. So it's approximately double what... It could be double what you got paid last year, so it would be around 80 euro per cow.
So a very attractive scheme for all.
It is, and I suppose it's well worth looking at in time, because if advisors need to get approval to apply on your behalf, you need to get onto them.
Martina Enright there, we'll take a quick break now. Welcome back to Clare FM's Farm Focus. Michael Glynn with you here until 10 o'clock. Now, with the coronavirus pandemic continuing to sweep across the country, solicitors have noted a significant spike in the number of people looking to get a will put in place, and farmers are no different. On this topic, I've been speaking with Gwen Bowen of Bowen & Co. Solicitors in Six Milebridge.
The Law Society of Ireland has said that there is reports of an increase in people looking to make a will. Have you noticed an increase in your own business locally?
Yeah, lots of inquiries, and there's a lot of fear around it. And as well as that, you know, on social media, I hear people are asking me questions on social media as well about wills and wills making. It's obviously, you know, it can seem quite fatalistic, but for as many people as don't want to think about this kind of thing, a time like this makes people look at what would happen if something unexpectedly happened to them, like how are they organised, how are their families organised, and how will their estate be distributed. So it's just something that brings it to mind for people.
And obviously, everyone is very mindful at the moment about social distancing. What procedures are there in place that will allow people to make a will at this current moment?
Okay, so at the moment, social distancing gave us pause. I'm a member of the Probate and Administration of Trust Committee in the Law Society, and we kind of had to sit down and work out some protocols about how we would deal with people wanting to make wills. Like, obviously, every solicitor's practice is going to be different, and people have to be mindful of their own health and of the health of their staff. But by the same token, there are ways that you can work around it with social distancing. For example, at the moment, what I'm doing is, if people want to make a will, I have full conversation with them on the phone about what their wishes are, do my full attendance, go through things like the taxation implications of what they're planning on doing, or, you know, who's the appropriate person to be their executor. We spend a lot of time taking the attendance, and then the instructions are sent back out to them. Everyone, practically everyone, has email now, but even if they don't have email, it can be done by post. So a draft of the will is sent out, and then a rediscussion in relation to the will. And if they want to come in and sign, basically what happens is that myself and, for example, my daughter, who's over 18 and entitled to be a witness, will let them into the office and basically stand away from them. They sign their name and we sign ours, and they leave. They're in and out of the office within about 30 seconds or a minute. And a copy of the scanned will is signed by then is sent out to them so that they'll have a copy of it. And it's quite unusual in that normally, you know, a lot of the time is spent around discussion and these things. It's a very personal thing to do to make a will, but we're kind of at the stage where needs must, you know. People would rather have something proper in place. We are also doing postal wills for people. Again, the recommendation is that it should be a personal attendance by the solicitor to make the will. But if you've had the discussion and you've kept all your good attendance notes, you can send out the will by post, clearly marked up where people are to witness. And this is something I'd really like people to be very aware of. Most of probate litigation, where there's confusion in relation to wills, expensive litigation, and, you know, what did the person mean when they made their will, arise from homemade wills. People will try and make a homemade will, and they'll make a very, very simple mistake, which can cause huge amount of problems afterwards. Your witnesses have to be independent from you. So if a will is being sent out to somebody, we're very, very clear that the witnesses who witness the signature have to be people that will not benefit in any way under the will. Okay, so you cannot be a witness to the will and be a beneficiary. And not only that, you cannot be married to a person who is a beneficiary in the will and witness the will. So let's say if someone made a will and they knew that their beneficiary couldn't witness it, but they got their wife or their husband to act as a witness, the benefit is void completely. So that's very, very important for people to know. And even in cases where people are, you know, there's concerns about duress and pressure being put, if you're related in any way to the person who's getting a benefit, there could be questions called into mind as to whether the person really understood what it was they were doing, or were they under any pressure. So it's really important that the solicitor takes a good attendance. And it is better to have a solicitor or a professional person who's exercising judgment as to whether that person is under pressure and is clear that they're having a free and frank discussion with them, and that they get a good idea of what their wishes are.
So you would say, as anybody looking to make a will, do not do it from home.
Well, you can do it from home, but do it with professional advice, and mind those things, like mind the making sure your witnessing is correct, that it's dated, that you're clear. Like, I mean, I'm not from the country originally, but, you know, people will refer to things like Shaughnessy Field, for example, or, you know, the orchard might be a name of a field on their farm. But you need to be very, very careful. And like when people ring me and they give me instructions in relation to their will, I can log on to landdirect.ie, which is the Property Registration Authority website. I can look, if they give me their postcode, I can look at their house. I can see what way their house is registered. I can see if there's any boundary issues they might be telling me about certain fields. But I'll be able to identify them by proper plan numbers and give clarity. You know, and all of this can be, there's so much that can be done online. You know, it's amazing to people, like, if this crisis had happened 10 years ago, we would be in a very, very different position. But we can manage an awful lot of this stuff at a distance and get it right. And it's important to really try and get it right for people who may be worried.
Right. And being in a relatively rural area, have you noticed an increase in business from the farming community?
Not really. There's certainly more inquiries. The farming community actually are one of the better. They're very clever about having their succession planning put in place, and they're kind of on top of it because just as a community, there's been a big move in farming towards succession planning, and a lot of education and notice has gone out. So that they're actually a group that I find are pretty well set up. It's people who, you know, just they particular groups of people, like, for example, a single parent. If you're a single parent and you haven't your will made, what you need to understand is that if anything happens to you and your child is a minor, the other parent of that child is the person who's entitled to extract the grant to your estate if you've no will made. And there may be a fracture in that relationship. And that might not be the person that you might want to deal with things for your child. Like, you might have a house and you might have a large mortgage, but God forbid if anything happened to you, your mortgage will be paid off and there's a large asset sitting there that needs to be managed for your child or your children. So it's, you know, they're the kind of groups of people that really we need to be getting that message to. Parents of young children, likewise. You know, not just people who have large businesses and large farms, because any asset is a big asset. And what you have to remember is if you don't make your will, and God forbid something happens to you, your children have full control of their share of the estate at 18 years of age. So if it's like, for example, a single parent with one child and they have a house worth 250,000 and that child is 16 and something happens to them, at 18, their child will get full control of the estate. Now, I don't know what you were like at 18, but I would not have been the most sensible person at 18 to be giving such a large asset to, you know, even though you're legally an adult, people need to mature and they need to be able to manage themselves. And people are very vulnerable when they're put in the position of having a large asset at a young age with no control. And it's a very simple thing to do, to put a trust together.
Oh, definitely.
And have people there to look after that child's interests.
So if someone would like to get in touch and seek your professional advice, how could they do that?
Well, I'm in Six Mile Bridge, County Clare. My email is Gwen at Bowen Solicitors, Bowen Solicitors.ie. Our phone number is 061-713-767. The phone may not be fully attended at the moment. We're kind of working a rotation system in the office where we're in for part of the day, but we have an answering machine and we return all calls. So I'd be delighted to give advice to anybody if they wanted to. And you know, it's just as important not to panic. I mean, having a will does not mean you're going to die. It's just important. It's, you know, it's a time like this that kind of puts things in perspective for people, and people go, God, you know, I do need to get organised. And I just think it's a very important thing for people to do.
Brilliant. Well, Gwen, thank you very much for speaking to me.
You're very welcome.
That was Gwen Bowen there of Bowen & Co Solicitors in Six Mile Bridge. And just before we wrap up this morning's programme, you may have heard in our news this week, the government is working with the EU to establish what supports are available to farmers whose income has been hit by the COVID-19 emergency. So as you'll no doubt be aware, Ireland's markets abroad have been hit by the pandemic and exports are expected to suffer as a result. This measure has been announced in response to that, and the Agriculture Minister, Michael Creed, issued a response to it during the week, and here's what he had to say.
Where we're supplying retail, for example, our meat exports to Italy, for example, as one incident, we're now finding that Italian beef production that would have been directed at food service in Italy is now beginning to displace our product on retail shelves in Italy. So there's a really knock-on consequence for us in the retail side as well.
And that was Agricultural Minister Michael Creed bringing a close to this week's programme. The podcast will be online later if you want to listen back to anything you've just heard. Country Corner is up next, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, stay home, stay safe, and wash your hands.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.